All right, you have your Bibles. I was going to go in one direction, and the Lord's put me in another direction. So here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And when you found your place, if you please stand in reverence to God's holy word. I'm going to start in verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are alway delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up Jesus, the Lord Jesus, shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are not seen are eternal. Let's go to the Lord's word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we just want to thank you again for another day to come to your house to worship you. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, if any within the sound of my voice, including myself, if our hearts are not right with you, Lord, may we get right before the end of this preaching, Lord, and just help us through this word. Lord, what you have in store for somebody here, hopefully, Lord, that we will listen if the Holy Spirit convicts us. And Lord, maybe there's someone here that's a little discouraged, and maybe through this message they may be encouraged. And Lord, we know that without your presence here, Lord, it's all in vain. And so we ask and pray that you meet with us this morning. Speak to our hearts. And help us, Lord, to draw closer to you. And we pray, Lord, if there's one here that's lost and hasn't trusted you as Savior, that today would be that day. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in verse number 7, he makes this comment, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, the treasure he's talking about is the gospel. Amen. We have a treasure above any other treasure. You know, I know as a kid, I don't know some of you maybe as a kid, you know, you'd hear these stories about pirates looking for hidden treasure, you know, and that sometimes they had books that would talk about them, you know, finding hidden treasure and everybody. But we have the treasure that's most valuable of anything, and that's salvation. Salvation is free. And thank God it's for eternity. Amen? And so we have this great treasure in earthen vessels. It's talking about our bodies, our frail human bodies here that just are, as we get older, it just seems like we have one problem after another. Can I get an amen on that one? But you know what? We know one day the Bible tells us that we're going to have glorified bodies. We're going to have bodies, Brother Mike. We won't need these. Won't that be good? We won't have body aches and pains when we wake up in the morning or during the day or whatever. We won't have that problem. But while we're on earth, we do have that problem. Amen. We're on the sin-cursed earth. We're born sinners. And so we have the curse. Amen. And so we deal with those things. But the fact is that as Christians, we need to always remember that we have that treasure. And that's the gospel. We have the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without it, we'd have no hope. You know, without it, we might as well close the door. You know, even if we had His birth and His life and His death, that wouldn't be enough. It took the resurrection. The resurrection proved that the Father was satisfied with the Son's sacrifice. Amen? And because of that, we have that hope. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessel that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, the problem with a lot of churches is the power that is there, and I use quotations when I say power, it's people's human effort. And that's not the way it should be. It should be the Spirit working through us. Amen? Christ living in us and working through us. That's the power we need. That's the power that'll help. I've been reading this book on small churches and how they're a little different than these large churches. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we get caught up in the numbers game. You know, we don't have the numbers as this one does, and we don't have the numbers. And success isn't determined on numbers. Success is determined on how we live. Are we living right for Him? If we're doing everything that we can for Him, don't worry about numbers. Amen? Yes, it's good to have people. You know, it'd be great to have this whole place full. But the important thing is the people that are in here, that we grow as Christians. That we become better servants for Christ. Amen? That we become that living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service, is serving Him that way. But too many times we get caught up and we get discouraged and distraught because we think, well, you know, things must not be going good here. He's not blessing. There's not many people. Can I tell you there's many churches that have thousands of people and yet God's nowhere near them? They're not preaching the Bible. They're not preaching the Word of God. They've become a social club. Let's include everybody. Listen, God wants everybody to be saved, but He doesn't want to not preach. He said we're to preach the whole Word of God, amen? Not just parts. Well, I'll offend these people if I say this. I'll offend these people if I say this. I'll offend these people if I say this. No, if God said, if it says, thus saith the Lord, that's what we need to preach, amen? That's what the Sunday school teachers need to teach. We need to teach what God tells us to do. And a successful church isn't based on numbers. It's based on, are the people growing? Are they working together for the cause of Christ? Are they getting the gospel out? We went out yesterday and we went knocking on doors. You know what? That's a lost art. Now, according to my Bible, Jesus sent them out two by two. Am I right? Is that what He did? Now, why is it that all these people decide, well, it's just, you know, things have changed. That don't work anymore. Well, God hadn't changed. Amen. But it's sad that when we go out there, it's rare. Once in a blue moon, I might actually see another Baptist church out there knocking on doors. But for the most part, what do we see? We see Mormons. We see Jehovah's Witnesses. I've had people, I've knocked on their doors. They open the door and I say, you know, I'm Mark Lakelum. I'm pastor of Grace Baptist Church. And we're in your area just visiting. Just wondering, you go to church anywhere? And I've had a few of them go, I thought you were the Jehovah's Witness. And I'm thinking they're worried about them knocking on doors. Why? Because they're doing it all the time. And it's a shame that we as God's people, we as having the truth, we have that treasure, and we're not sharing it. That's sad. But we need to understand, and listen, it tells us here in verse number 8, we are troubled on every side. Can I tell you this? The Bible tells us that Jesus said the world hated Him before it hated us. So if He was persecuted, we're going to be persecuted. And you look all around this world, it amazes me what goes on. It seems to get worse and worse, but you know what? A lot of times we can get discouraged because how bad things are out there. Has anyone ever been discouraged because of what's going on out there? And can I at least get Pete? Are you alive? Are you breathing? There you go. Listen, we went to the parade. We went to the parade there Friday night, was it? Man, I can't even get my days right. We went to the parade and we're sitting there and seeing all kinds of strange things going on. But all of a sudden I look and I see this float coming. And it says, basically there was a thing saying something about the only thing that needs to be in the closet is the clothes. It was a gay transgender float in the Harlingen parade. Isn't that terrible? And you know what? That can discourage us. But what we need to do is say, you know what? The culture has tried to change everything to where all of a sudden we're not normal and they're normal. And instead of getting discouraged about it, just remember who's in control. And we need to stand up and educate people on what's right and what's wrong. What the Bible says is true, what the world says is not true. And it can, seeing stuff like that can sometimes make you say, what's the use? You know, I've tried to tell people, and they just won't listen, and look at this stuff being accepted here. You know what? That's part of, God loves those people too. God wants them to be saved. And what we need to do is pray for people. We need to pray for Harlingen to say, you know what? Help us to be a witness to them. And it's important that we do that. Notice he says, persecuted but not forsaken. A lot of times when pressure is put on us as a church or as Christians, what do we always think? Man, we're all alone. Boy, everybody's against us. Hey, wait a minute. We're not forsaken. What did Jesus say? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's with us. So when we think we're all alone, no, we got Jesus. We got the most important person in the world that loves us, that died for us. And although we look and say, you know what, this can't be done. Why can't we do this? Why can't we do that? And we worry about how bad things are getting. It's getting worse. What's the use of witnessing to people? They won't listen. Hey, remember, Jesus is with you. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, we're cast down but not destroyed. You know, he says, don't fear those that can destroy the body. We've got a lot of people that in Christian circles that have given their lives, I mean, became martyrs for the cause of Christ. But you know what they couldn't take? They couldn't take their souls. The Lord said, don't fear those. Basically, he said, don't fear those that can take the body, destroy the body. Fear the one that can destroy the body and the soul. Jesus is the only one that can do that. So we as Christians need to, you know, understand, listen, we may be persecuted. We may be ridiculed, made fun of. Some of us might be injured. Some of us might lose our very lives for the cause of Christ. But just remember, Christ will never forsake us. Amen? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's what it's about. Manifest means to reveal. And so he's saying that in our bodies, people need to see the life of Christ. Are they going to see the life of Christ if we're grumbling and complaining and whining and crying? No. But if through tough times, we can sit there and say, praise the Lord. I remember this man, Kevin, that I worked with, a big old tall fellow. And he came in and started working with us. And he every day, I never saw one day that he didn't smile. No matter what happened, he would just be smiling the whole time. And you know what? I was like, why is he like that? That was me. I was like, you know, why is he like this? You know, he'd come in, man, car broke down, praise the Lord. And I'm like, what? Have you ever met anyone like that when you were lost? Someone that was just like a Christian that was actually acting like a Christian? He was one of the people that influenced me, that got me questioning of thinking, well, what's this life all about? At first, I was like, you know, what is his problem? But you know what? Just seeing that every day, I mean, he just lived. He wasn't perfect. None of us are. But what I'm saying is that those circumstances that happened, he just remembered in his heart, hey, I'm not forsaken. And he could smile, you know, like, you know, hey, got a flat tire, praise the Lord. Could have been worse, could have been the engine. Yeah, it could have been. But you know what we do, flat tire. God, do you not love me anymore? That's our attitude. What's wrong, God? Why did you let this happen? But listen, we need to live as if Christ is living through us, because that's the whole thing we need to do. It needs to be revealed in our body. Amen? When we're out there with the world and they're seeing us, they need to see Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit of God, we allow the Spirit to dictate what we do. People will see Jesus. Amen? Now notice this. He says this part here. We have, verse 13, the same spirit of faith, according as written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Notice he says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up us also by Jesus. Now, he's telling us here, God the Father raised up God the Son. And he said he's the first fruits. Amen? He mentions it in the Bible a couple times. He's the first fruit. Hey, if he raised Jesus up, he's going to raise us up if we trust Jesus. Notice he says in this phrase, he says, the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also. And then he says this, by Jesus. To let us know it's not because of what we do, it's because of what he's done. And a lot of times we forget that part, amen? A lot of times we get the big head and start thinking we're doing God a favor by all the things we're doing for him. Listen, I'm not doing God a favor by preaching. God has given me an opportunity to preach. You're not teaching a Sunday school class because you're doing God a favor. God has given you an opportunity to do it. It's a privilege that he has given us. God has given you a privilege as a Christian. Each and every person here is a Christian if they're saved by grace. Amen? If you're saved and you're a Christian, God has given you a privilege of serving him. Everyone. See, a lot of times this is what happens. You have a small church, and, well, he's the pastor, let him do it. He's the pastor, let him do it. He's the Sunday school teacher, let him do it. She's the Sunday school teacher, let her do it. And they think that they don't have to do anything. Amen? Listen, God may have you just witness to some people because that's what he wants everybody to do. Well, I can't make it on visitation. You don't have to come to visit. That's what I'm not saying is you got to witness to people while you're out there. That's what God wants you to do. God's not going to say, well, you know what? I'm looking here and you never witnessed, you never did this, and you never did that. Hey, but you were in a small church and, you know, it didn't matter. No, he's not going to say that. He expects every one of us to be a witness. Every single person here is to be a witness for him. Amen? He's not going to look and say, well, hey, you did this and you did that and you did this and you did that. I think of the Ephesian church when he bragged on them, Brother Saray, about all the things they did. But then what did he say? But I have one thing against you. You left your first love. And I have a feeling there's a lot of churches, they're so busy that they have forgotten their first love. And then there's others that think, well, we're so insignificant, what could we do? If you love the Lord as you're commanded to do, that's what He wants out of you. Amen? If you love Him, hey, He tells you, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. So if you love Him, if you truly love Him, He's not going to say one day when you stand before Him, well, you didn't preach, you didn't teach Sunday school, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, oh, you're just no good. You're going to be one of my second class kids. No, we're all children. Amen? We're all children. But what I'm saying in essence is when you think, well, all I'm doing is witnessing to people, don't say all I'm doing. That's what God wants you to do. Amen? The main thing is we got the hidden treasure. Amen? We have the Holy Spirit of God in us. We have the gospel. Amen? We've been saved. We have that treasure that's for everybody. We're to share it. And yet a lot of times we're so busy doing, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing this. But why are you doing it? Are you doing it because you love Jesus? Or are you doing it out of habit? Well, it's church. I got to do it. No, it needs to be love. There needs to be love in our hearts for the Lord. And listen, when we look at Paul's life, I mean, he was persecuted. I mean, he went through, I mean, we aren't even close to understanding, I think, what he went through. But the thing is, he mentions to us all these things. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of the Lord might be made manifest in our body. He wasn't concerned about himself. His life, when he got saved, was to live for God. Because the thing is, he says this in verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall be present with you. In other words, he was sure of his ultimate victory. He was sure that God saved him and that he was going to go to heaven. And those people that he was writing to, he said, you know what? He said, I know you can get discouraged. I know you can get out of God's will. But he said, we have the ultimate victory. You're saved by the grace of God. You have the ultimate victory. Amen? And that victory, the desire should keep you going to serve Him because of that ultimate victory. My motivation is the love He had for me. That should be my motivation. That should be your motivation. But a lot of times our motivation is, do I feel like doing it? Do I have to do it? See, that's the problem. I have to do it. I feel like doing it. No. Get your feelings out of that. Have to sounds too much legalistic. Amen? We're not under the law. What are we under? Grace. And if we're under grace, it shouldn't be a question of, well, I have to do this. Well, I feel like I don't want to do it. No, it should be, man, He loved me so much. I get to do this for Him. What a privilege it is to be able to do this for Him. I can't believe that He loves me. Listen, I can't believe He loved me when I was a sinner and lost. I can't believe He loves me now since I've been saved. You know what? I'm still a sinner. You're still a sinner. Amen? Yes, we got the Holy Spirit of God living in us, but we still have this rotten flesh. And this rotten flesh says, I don't feel like it. We have the wrong attitude. We need to take the right attitude of because of what He did, we have the ultimate victory. We know we're going to heaven, and by the things that we do, when we do something for the glory of God, amen, He's getting praise for it. Amen? That's the whole thing. The whole purpose for us as Christians is we're to bring God glory. But a lot of times we look at it as, what am I getting out of this? If I have to do this, I'm having to sacrifice my time. I'm having to sacrifice this. I'm having to do this. And no, the wrong attitude. The right attitude is, praise God, I get to do this for Him. Amen? Listen, as a parent, my kids, I want to do everything I can for them. Do you not feel that way with your kids? You want to do everything you can to help them, amen, to be a blessing. But can I tell you this? Our love for our kids can't compare to the love that God has for us. His love is perfect. Our love is flawed. But as being God's people, everything we do should be out of the love we have for Him. Knowing the ultimate thing. Listen, anytime we're going through tough times, when things aren't going right, this isn't going right, that ain't going right, it's all bad, it's all awful, it's all terrible, just remember, He loves you. He loves you. Amen? Get up and say, praise God, this, that, but He loves me. And I get to be a blessing. Hopefully I can be a blessing to others. Maybe people can see Jesus in me, that God would get the glory. Amen? Listen, He says this here. For all things, verse 15, are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Notice, the thanksgiving. A thankful people. Amen? But notice this, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Amen? Listen, this body just, I mean, as it gets older and older and older, you feel more, you get aches where you never thought you had them before or knew about. Amen? And everything else. You know what? One day, if the Lord tarries, all of us are going to die. Well, that's depressing. No, it's not. Because what happens? If you're saved, what happens when you die? You go to heaven. Amen? You won't have those aches and pains. Amen? I remember one of the ladies that taught Sunday school, I've told you before, in our church, her name was Sister Beth. She had polio. She was in a wheelchair since being a kid. She almost died. And she taught them kids, and those kids loved her. She was stern. She'd tell you, Brother Saray, she would tell you right to your face, that's wrong, this is wrong. I mean, she was very opinionated, but you know what? She loved the Lord. I mean, that just blessed my heart. That one day it was snowing, and I said, I'm going to try it. I get down there, and I look, and as I pull in our church, our parking lot goes down like this from the road, and then you got down back underneath. So it's pretty treacherous there in the snow. And I turned that corner, I looked around, and there's her van. She's got polio. She had a van made to where she could drive that thing. She's in a wheelchair. Thing takes her up in there, puts her in there, and she's able to drive that thing. And here she is in the snow, and she's there because she loves those kids. And you see something like that, and you think, man, I remember one day I just didn't feel good, and I didn't go. You start feeling shameful. Why? Because all of a sudden, you're seeing someone that loves the Lord, and you can see the love there. Those kids, they loved her because she loved them kids. Her whole life was wrapped around that church. When she died, she was pretty much alone. When she died, that money went to that church. She loved that church. She loved her pastor. Amen? And it showed. She just, you saw that love. And you know what? She was a witness where she went. And a lot of times when I see other people, the Lord convicts me. I don't know about you, but have you ever been around a Christian and he does something and all of a sudden you just feel right in your heart, man, why am I not doing that? Why do I act different? See, that's what we need to be. We need to be so in love with Him that we're not going to be concerned about what other people are thinking. That's the problem, is other people, we're concerned more about other people than we are God. Well, I might offend them, or you know what, or they might not like, well, if I don't do this, they're going to be mad at me. Yeah, but if you do it, God's going to be mad at you. Who do you want mad at you? Amen? Don't compromise on God. Live for Him because He's with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. There's people I've seen that, you know, hey, man, I can count on them. There's people probably said that about me, and then all of a sudden something happens, and you're like, why? Well, we're human. But can I tell you this? Jesus has not once let me down. Amen? Never. And He tells us here, for our light affliction is but for a moment. Paul, who was beaten, shipwrecked, all kinds of things happened to him. Stoned to death. All these things happened to him. He said, our light affliction. And we think because someone cussed us out, boy, oh, I just can't take this. He said it's light affliction. It's but for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That's a problem a lot of times. We're looking at what we can see instead of having the faith. Amen? Well, this I can't do this because this won't add up. That's sight. God said to do it. God will make a way. Praise the Lord. That's faith. And a lot of times we won't do things because we're looking by sight. I'm not going to talk to that guy. He'll kill me. Right? Look at that biker. He's got all them tattoos. And you want me to go witness to him, Lord? Yes, he does. Do you not think the Lord can protect you? Amen? It's important for us to love the Lord with all our hearts and understand that if we do what the Lord wants us to do, He'll get glory and honor out of it. Amen? So He's saying, listen, these trials that were happening, He said, that, you know, a lot of times we look at something, if something bad happens to us, Brother Juan, we look at it as, man, this is working against me. You know what? Trials work for you. Because we're being conformed to the image of God. When we look at Job's life, listen, all those things happened. More happened to him in one day than probably all of us combined, all the heartache that he went through for that one day. But in the end, what happened? God got glory. That's what it's all about. We need to quit looking at, man, this trial, it's against me. No, it's for you. All things work together for good. To them who love the Lord, to them who are the called according to what? His purpose. It's not your purpose, it's not my purpose, it's His purpose. And that's why we should be doing that, amen? Notice this, he said, for the things which are seen are temporal. These things down here, they're temporal. Just like that, it'll be gone one day. I've never seen a funeral with a hearse hauling a U-Haul. Amen? You can't take it with you. All the things you get here, you can't take it with you. Temporal. But you know what? Everything you store up there, the treasures, they're forever. So Paul is saying, quit worrying about the things here, temporal things. Remember the whole thing about everything that is permanent up there. When we bring honor and glory to God through the way we handle situations, amen, we get rewards for those things, and they're forever, amen? And I'm not trying to get more rewards than another person so I can brag on it. We should want to get as many rewards as possible so we can cast them at our Savior's feet. Amen? It's not about me getting the reward. It's about being able to give it to Jesus. Give them something. I'm afraid a lot of Christians will stand before them one day. They're saved. They're going to be in heaven. But how many rewards were lost because they were more concerned about themselves than Jesus? We look at the zeal of Apostle Paul. I mean, this man loved the Lord. He did everything he could. He didn't worry about those things that went on and went against it. He just kept serving God and praising God. And that's, as Christians, what we need to do. We need to put Him first. Everything we do should be to please Him. Bible says, for His pleasure we were created. And so it's up to us to live for Him. Let Him live through you. Let Him be the witness. Amen? Listen, a lot of people, I know a lot of us have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Bibles in your house. Right? Got all kinds of Bibles in your house, tracts and everything else. And a lot of times we just assume, since we have them, everybody else does. They just choose to live that way. It was amazing to me many times. We lived in the Bible Belt and knocking on doors and people not knowing about the Lord. Don't just assume people know and they just rejected them. And don't just assume God's through with dealing with them. The very fact that you're going may be the reason that God's saying, you know what, I'm giving them another chance. And the chance is up to you. How are you going to handle it? Are you going to bring honor and glory to His name? Or are you going to bring shame to His name? Let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your time in Your Word. And Lord, we're just so thankful.